The chapter we're talking about this time is called The Soul of Ernest Holmes, which is the last chapter of the philosophy of Ernest Holmes that we've been working on this year. And as Judy mentioned earlier, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about the first four chapters of the Science of Mind textbook to finish out the year, because there weren't enough chapters in this book to finish out the year. And Judy had that excellent idea. So Judy and Gail and Lori and I will be talking about those chapters coming up, and that's always exciting. Ordinarily in the Science of Mind churches that I went to in the 80s and 90s, the first four chapters of the book were the first four talks of the new year. And I'm not sure that that's done in other churches now, or centers, but I know that it's inspiring to me to go back to the beginning where I started. Ernest Holmes shifted my consciousness dramatically, and I'm just so grateful for the power of Science of Mind in helping us shift our focus. And that's the medicine we're talking about today, that Sherry talked about in her song, that when we lose hope, we need a lift. And the lift we're talking about in this chapter is coming from our awareness of the presence of God and the real true nature of our being. And I want to start with something that quotes Lori from one of my books. And I'm going to do this because Lori and Lynn just appeared and said they're having problems with being here. And in case Lori goes away, I want her to hear this before she goes. So this was the very last thing I added to my talk as I came across it, and it felt really important. And it's from my second Chatting with the Beloved book, and it's called Lori's Joy. And I said, I'm feeling the power of focus, beloved. What an amazing demonstration within an hour. One friend reminded me of insecurity, and when I focused there, I felt insecure. Another friend, Lori, reminded me of well-being and joy. And when I relaxed and focused there, I felt joy. Two powerful rendezvous. Thank you. I am loved. I am loving. I am love going and coming. I am love, sometimes expressed as insecurity. I am love, preferring to express as joy. Both are valid choices. I get to choose where I choose. And I choose joy today. I can choose to see the world through a filter of joy. The choice other people make affect me to the degree I choose to focus on them. Focusing on Lori's choice feels magnificent today, for she is in alignment with the truth of her being. So thank you, Lori, for that inspiration from 2010. I wrote that 14 years ago about my experience with you. And it's so relevant to what we're talking about today, because it's about, are we focused on the insecurity? Are we focused on the joy? Are we focused on the separation? Or are we focused on the oneness? And so this is a very strange chapter. Reverend Maria alluded to that last time. I tried to find a quote that I could actually quote to bring you something from the chapter, and I really had difficulty. So I kind of paraphrased what was happening in this chapter. Ernest Holmes was a poet, and he was far out in his willingness to explore life expansively. And he wrote this chapter as a fable about the creation of humanity by God as a combination of time, timelessness, and eternity, where creativity is our experience through the law, as the world appears as a reflection of our own thoughts and ideas, where we may suffer as a result of our own confusion, which creates all kinds of strange beliefs about our destiny. And many of those beliefs seem to be very weird indeed. And that is indeed a quote from a different chapter. No, it's the same chapter, three pages after the first quote. I'm paraphrasing. And then life unfolds differently as these beings evolve from complete ignorance to the realization of our own natures. So here's a contrast for you. I started with Lori's joy, and then I talked about how as we are looking at the world, that's a reflection of our own strange beliefs, that we can get into confusion and weirdness. So choosing joy or weirdness seems to be a national obsession right now. If we're talking about, are we choosing to focus on the light and the vision and the joy, or are we choosing to focus on the weirdness? And life unfolds differently as we evolve into the realization of our own nature, as Ernest said. So I said, okay, that's what this chapter is about. And now I'm going to figure out what I can say about that. And I thought, oh Lord, it's about evolution. Okay, that's a solid word to explore. And so in my busyness over the last 2 weeks, I was having trouble focusing on what I was going to talk about today. And I know that when I meditate, ideas come. And I put on a talk that I gave 10 years ago on spiritual evolution, which is the subject of this chapter. And I thought, oh, thank goodness, I have notes on this subject. And so I was able to listen to that talk and hear about it and then amplify it and add to it from my perspective today. So thinking about Ernest telling us to move to the realization of our own nature. And then I said, okay, so what is that nature? And I went to the Living the Science of Mind, where Ernest said, God as man, in man, is man. And when man makes a proclamation, it is still God proclaiming, but at the level of man's consciousness. And I thought, man, it's hard to find a sentence where you use the man, five word man, five different times. But we accomplished it in that sentence. So then I tried it as human, but human has the word in man in it. And then I rewrote it again as person, which has the word son in it. And I thought, okay, I give up. God as a person in a person is a person. But when this person makes a proclamation, it is still God proclaiming, but at the level of the person's consciousness. So we talk about consciousness endlessly. I have given virtually every talk I've given in 22 years about consciousness. But I came across a Abraham quote this morning that felt relevant. And Abraham was talking about how our focus puts us on a vibrational disc, a high flying disc or a low disc. And Abraham said, so you could be on a high flying disc that feels like love and appreciation, or you could be on a low flying disc that feels like ornery. And if you're wondering what disc you're on, just notice the people around you. If they're ornery, that's the disc you're on. And if they're on your disc, that's your point of attraction. So noticing, becoming aware of the results of our focus, that as Ernest said in this chapter, the world appears as a reflection of our own thoughts and ideas. And that feeling, if we're feeling love and appreciation, we attract things that feel like love and appreciation. And if we're ornery and we're criticizing or we're fearful, we're going to attract things that feel like that. So we want to move into this higher state of consciousness. And how do we do that? Well, in the Can We Talk to God book, Ernest said, the time has come in our evolution where we should awaken to a recognition that behind each one stands the eternal mind, that each has complete access to it, and to each may come to it for inspiration and revelation. The unfoldment of consciousness has arrived at the place where individuality can realize its own divinity. And so we breathe into that idea that we are God expressing. Right here, right now, we are that. We are that infinite, eternal, exquisite, loving, joyful, free, expansiveness. Is the very center of our being, is the nature of our being. And we can get there and experience that, and what a joy that is as we do that. Now, sometimes we lose it and we get out of it, but we can always come back to it. And in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest said, evolution is the awakening of the soul to the recognition of its unity with the whole. So Science of Mind comes down to oneness. One mind, one heart, one life, one love, one peace, one grace, one power, and we are that. That oneness is the very essence of who we are. And sometimes we're aware of it and sometimes we're not. And I often have told the story of the vision I had, where the message that came out of the vision was, consciously choose to see the world through a filter of grace rather than a filter of fear. And so we want to choose to look for the love, to look for the sparkles. One of my friends, Margie, said, life is in the details, and there's something in every scene that sparkles. And that sparkly nature of life is ever around us. We can bring flowers into our home. Lori gave me a dot artistry that she's been doing, that when she gave me the opportunity to choose one of her dot pictures, I chose the one that looks like a sloth. And Kaylee's still here with her. So I am making a commitment that at some point when I get to see Kaylee, that sloth picture is going to go to her. But if it doesn't happen for a while, I will bask in the beauty and sparkliness of the sloth in my living room, who at this point is sitting underneath a stained glass lamp. And the shade of that lamp matches the incredibly beautiful background that Lori created behind the sloth. And the joy of that picture is extraordinary. And I can focus on the sparkly sloth, or I could focus on something else that didn't feel quite as good. And sparkling sloth feels like a good choice for a lot of the things that run across the screen on my phone or the headline on the paper in front of me. That sparkly sloth is a really amazing thing. So I talked to Beloved one day about the filter of grace. And they said, when you see yourself through a filter of grace, you are timeless, eternal, expansive, and ever evolving in love. Breathe that in. Timeless, eternal, expansive, and ever evolving in love. That feels really good to me. Then they said, when you see yourself through a filter of fear, you are aging, limited, and contracting. It's not you who is different, just the filter you are perceiving yourself with that changes. And so we get to focus, we get to choose, and you begin to be aware of yourself. And sometimes friends coming around that are observing you can help you become more aware of yourself. Because my friends who are here from Colorado, I had four friends from Colorado pass through this week. Lynn and Lori from Wednesday to Saturday, but Margita and David were here on Monday, and I got to spend a few hours with them on Monday. And they said, this whole thing with the photography and the nature and the pictures, they said, you're so different now. That seems to have really changed your focus and the things you pay attention to, the things you are passionate about and put priority on. And I said, wow, that's true. I do feel that. I have changed in that way. So in some ways, that was an evolution of my life. I became aware of something that brought me joy. And in my focus on joy, I've spent hours and hours, 20 or 30 hours a week, a lot of weeks, focusing on birds and turtles and dragonflies and butterflies and deer and chipmunks and joy in action. And it makes me happy every single day. So it's someone else telling me, I see that change in you, can help me become aware. And recently, someone at Folk Club, I think it was Sherry, said to me, "I've never really noticed you being so political as you seem to be now." And I thought, "Oh, wow, that's true. I've never had a big focus on the political in my life, but recently I have felt drawn in that direction." And you guys know that I was talking for a while about focusing on reasonable people working for the good of the whole, which is something that Abraham recommended. And I did serious interviews of my friend who worked for NASA and another friend who worked for National Institutes of Health doing gene sequencing. And I've just delved into that beautiful expertise and commitment and focus that people have worked on in government for decades and done such an amazing job of bringing greater well-being and development and science and magic like moon landings and health upgrades into the world through that work that they do. And that's inspiring to me. And then I had the opportunity to see that not only were there reasonable people working for the good of the whole, but there were actually joyful people working for the good of the whole. And I was able to tap into that joy. And I would sit with Bob and finding myself clapping when I heard something that was so uplifting in a place where I have never experienced that in that way before. And that really did it for me. It's like, wow, that focus really, really helps. And when I was thinking about this mindfulness, about observing yourself and noticing the changes in behavior, that noticing when you're inspired to something different, and if you like the change, talk about it everywhere you go or post it on Facebook every day for years, and you will get more feedback that is a match to that upliftment that you're experiencing if you can share that love and that joy with other people. And that anchors the vibration. As you share it, as you have the conversation at dinner with friends, you can share the positive things, the sparkles that you see about what's going on, and uplift them with that joy as well. And continue to be willing to change. Beloved said, be willing to change. Say yes to change. Notice when you change your mind and reevaluate your thinking. Your capacity to experience joy and love is growing significantly and always will. There is no ceiling on how good you can feel within this physical life if you allow yourself to feel joy and excitement. As you come home to us, the beloved, day after day, you are building new structures in consciousness. New patterns of thought are reinforcing new neural networks that generate new chemistry, which triggers the development of new anatomy and physiology. And I said, that's awesome, B. And they said, love, it's awesome. Love drives the evolution within the individual. When you love, you bloom. When you love us and you allow yourself to open to the love we feel for you, portals of new possibility open. And so when I was thinking about this talk, I had an idea that I was going to buy this new technology, and I did. I bought a Muse S headband, which does electroencephalogram recordings, and allows you to experience what's happening in your meditations. And can contribute to the understanding that you have of the way your mind works. And I was hoping 3 weeks ago that getting this new technology was going to make a difference. And I'd be able to talk about that evolution in my consciousness. Well, turns out that things happen. And it didn't arrive before I left for vacation. And then I hit the road for days and days. And then Lynn and Lori came to visit. And I thought, well, that's an opportunity. And so Lynn and Lori helped me adjust the headband. And then they each tried it. And we had some experiences with it and achieved some bird sounds because we stayed in calmness for enough seconds. It's an interesting technology. But I realized that I could not really talk about it today. I did see that as I used it, I've only used it 4 times now, but as I used it again and again, I was able to get more calm. I was able to get more birds. I still am not as calm or have as many birds as Lori. Lori's amazing. She instantly aced this thing, but I have work to do, and I'm grateful to know that there is this beautiful technology that can help me recognize how to lower my stress, how to move into clearer and clearer consciousness. And my friend who recommended this technology said that your normal waking consciousness is beta, and then there's alpha waves, which are creativity, and then there's theta waves, which are healing, and then there's delta waves, which are awareness, opening to the awareness of the presence of God. And science of mind is about opening to the awareness of the presence of God. That's why so many of us have been in this space here in a hotel for 22 years. And so many of us have been together for 30 years because this is endless. It's eternal. It's infinite. The very essence of who we are does not have a ceiling. It's open at the top. And Ernest described science of mind as open at the top. So if there's a new technology or a new science or a new way of doing things, we are always encouraged to explore it and experience it and see what it can bring to us. And if it's not great or if it serves its purpose, we can let it go and leave it behind and move on to the next thing, because we can always be open to change, to allowing more love to flow, to allowing our minds to be clear, to see more powerfully through the filter of grace, to see through the eyes of Source, and to notice that this is a beautiful world. That it's filled with light and love and peace and grace and health and wholeness and prosperity and joy. It's all here. And we can focus in there on that, or we can get ornery and focus in other ways. And we get to choose. And you know, when we're feeling sane and connected and grounded, it's pretty easy to see the choice. On the days when we're upset or confused or fearful or angry, it's harder to see. But we have each other. We have the opportunity to remind ourselves and each other of this truth. We have our books and these teachings. We have endless guided meditations and talks. On my website, there's hundreds literally of talks and meditations. On the study group website, there's hundreds of talks over 22 years. So even if it's in the middle of the night and you don't know where to turn, there's someone that you can listen to who's maybe a little more connected in that moment than you are, who can lift you just a bit, and we can be there for each other. We can be the love. We can share the love. We can pass the love along. And I am just so grateful for this knowing, for this group, for the opportunity to give this talk. You guys always inspire me, and I give thanks for each of you for being here today, and thank you. So that's what I had to say today.